presenting Pop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
The X-4 calling control tower. The X-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to the X-4. Wind southeast. Feeling 12-foot fan. All clear.
Okay, this is Pop Harrigan. Coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Pop Harrigan.
During the war, our Air Force was under a great deal of pressure, as were the other branches of our military. There wasn't time to do much experimenting. Everything was rush, rush, rush. Consequently, many operational techniques were developed on the run, and emergencies were met as they came along. In the many missions over the vast water area of the Pacific and over the 30-mile-wide English Channel, many of our bombers and fighters were forced down on the water. Ditching, as it was called, became customary for planes riddled and badly damaged, which had little hope of reaching their home airport on their own power. Now that peace sign is here, the Air Force has more time to study the emergency situations that came up on operational missions, one of which is this matter of ditching. The Air Proving Ground Command and the Air Materiel Command, with the help of the Navy, is running a series of tests to find out what ditching safety features are needed in our aircraft of the future. Air Force officers are on the lookout for the best methods to ensure the highest possible percentage of survivals among the crews. From wartime experience, they found that the reliable flying fortresses were the best and safest ditchers of all the planes they use, so they're being used in the tests. A good many B-17s returning from combat badly damaged were forced to land at sea. In most cases, the crews emerged unhurt to escape in rubber life rafts before the plane sank. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back to tell you more about these important tests. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. A long, restless night has finally dawned into a clear, sunlit day, perfect for the coming test of Simon Gore's jet-propelled flying wing. Pop has persuaded Major McCall to allow him to fly the experimental plane, although he is hiding the fact that he's been seriously injured in the crash of their paper the night before. As we join Hop and Tank, they are on their way to the Major's office, walking slowly through the long, winding tunnels of the underground aircraft plant. Tank, noticing the pale, drawn look on the young pilot's face, expresses his concern.
You don't look good. You don't look good at all.
Nonsense, Tank. It's a bad light in this tunnel.
Gosh, I've been watching you all morning. You hardly even touched your breakfast.
I didn't feel like eating. Besides, you think anyone who eats less than 6 eggs in the morning is sick.
Look, don't try to kid me. I've known you too long. I can tell when things ain't right.
Well, this time, pal, you're off the beam. I'm fit and ready to go. I'll tie that flying wing into knots.
You know you have to pass the doctor's examination first.
There won't be anything to it.
We'll see. Remember what you promised the Major. If the doc don't clear you, you don't fly.
Yeah, I remember. Now lay off, will you?
Okay. Here's the Major's office anyway.
Come in.
Good morning, Major.
Good morning.
Hiya, Major.
Good morning, Tank. Well, did you have a good night's rest?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm raring to go.
Frankly, you don't look like it.
That's what I told him, sir, but he won't listen to me. I'm just a little nervous, sir.
Well, we'll know whether you're fit soon enough. Excuse me.
No, of course.
Connect me with the dispensary, please.
Sit down, thank you. No, thanks. I don't feel like it.
Hello, Major.
I do. What's the matter? Rocky on your pins? Can't I even sit down without your finding something wrong?
Thank you. He'll be right up.
Oh, swell. Is the plane ready, sir?
Yes, Dora put her through some taxi tests this morning. She came through fine.
He must have worked all night.
He did.
Carla Davis work on the plane, too?
Yes, she was in the shop at 7. She relieved Max Kell.
Uh-huh. Well, if you don't mind, before Hop takes off, I'm going to check the plane myself.
All right, Tank, but there's nothing to worry about. I'd place an armed guard around the ship. No one can get near her without permission.
Now, where's Mr. Gore now?
Having some breakfast, I believe. He's worn out.
Did you say anything to him about last night?
Carla's phone call to him, you mean?
Yes, and the plans we found in Roy Saunders' office.
No, I thought I'd let you handle the whole thing by yourself.
Thanks.
I've made some inquiries about Saunders, though. Checked with Washington.
Get any dope on him?
Yes. The Army dealt with him during the war. He supplied high-octane gas. There was a little trouble about it.
What do you mean, trouble, sir?
He was involved in some rather shady dealing. High prices for inferior gasoline. Nothing could be proved against him, but the Army broke their contract.
There's no good talk.
Since then, he hasn't operated on too large a scale. We don't know what he's up to now, but I've asked the FBI to take a hand.
Where is he, do you know?
I called the sheriff at Yellow Creek. Asked him if he knew anything about Saunders, and he said he'd seen him this morning. Had breakfast with him, as a matter of fact.
Hey, chummy?
I didn't pursue the matter.
But you told the sheriff about Saunders' henchman being dead in his office.
Yes, he said he was going right over. I expect to hear from him any moment. No, there's the doctor. Come in.
Good morning, Major.
Oh, Dr. Grove. Glad to see you.
These boys you want me to examine?
Just me, sir.
Oh.
Bob Harrigan, Tank Tinker, Dr. Grove.
How do you do?
Glad to meet you, sir.
Give him a good going over, will you, Doc? I don't think he ought to fly.
Tank, cut it out.
Look, I can't.
You keep your mouth shut and let the doctor decide.
Bob's going to fly Simon Gore's plane this morning, Doctor. But I won't permit it unless he's in good physical condition.
Of course, I understand. Well, let's get on with it, shall we? Take off your jacket and shirt, please, Mr. Harrigan.
Complying with the doctor's request, Hoff stands patiently as the examination begins. With narrowed eyes, he watches the doctor's every move and reaction. Tank and Major McCall, standing to one side, wait anxiously for the verdict. Finally, 20 minutes later, the doctor straightens up and removes his stethoscope from his ears.
All right, Harrigan, you can get dressed now.
Yes, sir. How is he, Doc?
Can he fly?
Well, there is something wrong with him. I know it.
Shut up, Tank.
What is it, Doctor?
He seems to be in good condition.
What do you mean, seems? If you have any doubts at all, I won't allow him to go up.
Well, it's difficult to explain, but let me feel your pulse again, Harrigan.
Of course, sir.
Don't let him go up, Major. He'll get killed. Please, Mr. Tinker.
Sorry.
All right, Harrigan. Thank you.
Well?
Your heartbeat was rather rapid a few minutes ago, and your pulse is racing.
What does that mean?
Could be an indication of most anything.
Could it be nerves, Doctor?
Oh, yes.
Then I think you'll have to blame it on that. I've been jumpy as a cat all morning.
Why?
You've never been nervous about flying before.
Well, how would you feel about testing a ship if you knew that three earlier models had cracked up under strange circumstances? That might explain it.
Well, Doctor, it's up to you. Yes or no?
I think it'll be all right.
Oh, no, Doc. Tank, I promised I'd do whatever the doctor said. He's cleared me. Now you've got to play along, too.
Okay.
And no more griping. Okay, Major, let's get to the plane.
Right. Thank you, Doctor.
No, don't mention it. And good luck, Harrigan.
Thanks.
Goodbye, Major. Goodbye, Mr. Tinker.
So long, sir.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Well, what are we waiting for? I'm ready.
Over this way, Hop. My office adjoins the hangar.
Gosh, Hop, I wish not, Tank. Don't go ahead. I can't help it. I worry about you.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Thanks, but everything will be okay.
Hop tries to reassure his mechanic pal, but Tank shakes his head in doubt. His close, lifelong association with Hop has given him almost a sixth sense regarding him. And deep within, he knows something's wrong.
You won't want to miss the gripping climax of today's episode, gang, so stand by.
You know, gang, a 20-month series of ditching tests is being held on Choctawhatchee Bay in the Gulf of Mexico. 10 flying porpoises will be ditched before the project is complete, one every 2 months. Each ship will be packed solid with a variety of instruments, each one to record important data for use in building our future planes. The Air Force hopes to learn from these experiments exactly how a plane should be ditched to provide the greatest safety for its crew, and they hope to be able to develop as good ditching qualities in other planes as exist in the B-17s. In the tests over the bay, 3 landing attitudes will be tried. First, a level 3-point landing, then a landing with nose high and engines almost at stalling speed. The third type of ditching will send a B-17 into the water nose down at high speed, exactly as it would hit the water if its pilot were unable to bring it out of a dive. At present, the Air Force leans toward the 3-point landing as the best all around. It gives a combination of low forward speed and even distribution of shock, because the broadest possible area, the plane's belly, hits first. The 3-pointer results in the least structural damage and gives the most time afloat also. None of the planes crash-landed in the ditching tests will have men aboard. All will be drone planes controlled by radio from a mothership. However, they'll be full of equipment instruments and motion picture cameras to record instrument readings permanently. Each camera and all the equipment will be enclosed in waterproof containers for protection. Our Air Force wants to make American planes the best equipped in the world for water landings, and the pilots familiar with the best way to land them. And say, fellas and girls, if you want to get into an interesting and exciting aviation career, get ready now. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. Passing the doctor's examination and cleared to fly the experimental plane, despite the fact that Tank feels that something is definitely wrong with him, Hawk looks forward to the takeoff. With Tank, he follows Major McCall into the cavernous hangar of the underground aircraft plant.
Hey, this is a big place.
I'll say. We could store a flock of bombers in here.
We did, during the war. There's the flying wing.
Uh-huh. And there's Simon Gore talking to Carla Davis and Max Kell.
Hey, get a load of Carla. If looks could kill, we'd be dead right now.
Mm-hmm. Gore sees us soon. He's coming over.
Can I check the plane now, Major?
Of course. Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Let this man through.
Thanks, Major. See you later.
All right, Hank.
Major, does Gore know I'm going to fly his plane?
I didn't tell him myself. I left a message for him to that effect.
No wonder he doesn't look happy.
Major, the call.
Oh, hello, Gore. Everything all right?
The plane's ready, if that's what you mean. But why is Harrigan going to fly her?
Because I've given him the assignment.
Major, I've won't permit it.
No.
I have too much at stake. This plane means everything to me. My whole future depends on his success.
Sure.
I refuse to allow a man to fly her who is working against me.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Gore. Working against you?
You heard me. You've constantly interfered, questioned my plane, questioned me. Even gone so far as to insinuate that I've had something to do with the crashes. Major, I don't see how you could...
I'm sorry, Gore, but Hop is flying that plane. He's the only one I can trust.
But I don't trust him.
Thanks. I'll take that up with you later, Gore.
Major, I refuse to accept responsibility for this test that Harrigan flies the plane.
Very well. Just as you wish. But remember, the Army has a definite responsibility here also. And representing the Army in this matter, I must insist that the test be conducted my way.
Oh. That is your final word?
It is.
Very well, sir. She's all yours. And good luck to you.
He certainly blew his top, didn't he?
Oh, forget it. He'll be happy if the plane goes through the test, okay? Come on.
We're not getting off to a very good start, are we? The designer himself is against me, his assistant throwing me dirty looks.
Carla, you mean? Don't pay any attention to her. Remember, a woman's bark is worse than her bite.
In her case, I wonder.
Yeah, here we are.
How's she look, Hank?
Okay, so far. She's got her in tip-top shape.
Good.
Here's your suit, Hop.
Oh, thanks.
I'll help you. You know how to operate it, don't you?
Oh, sure. There.
You're a chute.
Oh, right. Well, I checked her from top to bottom. I can't find nothing wrong. Don't sound so disappointed.
You ready?
All set. I'll give you a leg up the ladder.
No, bother, Tank. I can make it. Oh, so long, now. See you later.
Good luck, boy.
Yeah, plenty of luck, Hop.
Thanks. I'll talk to you over the radio.
Yeah, sure.
Hey,
Doc. Gosh.
Don't worry, Tank. I haven't seen anything yet, but Hop can't fly.
Yeah, but it's always the first time, Major. I'm scared to death. This is it.
His forehead lined with worry, Tank stands away from the flying wing as a crew of mechanics begins rolling the test ship out of the hangar. His last view of Hop is the young pilot lying prone in the cockpit, checking the controls. A terrible fear suddenly wells up with him that he'll never see his pal alive again.
Gang, you won't want to miss our next episode, so be sure to tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airways. So long, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.